This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Speak to me. Let's talk, Dad. I'm home. I've gone far away in many areas of my life, but I'm home today. Now it is time to be home with the Father. Or it should have been, it's high time we have been home. But thank God for His mercy. Lest I forget, the mother in the house says there are more than other Sunday refreshments and snacks for you after the church service. So be sure you are downstairs after the benediction. Hit the ground floor and participate on table, what we call swallowship, together with other brothers and sisters in the family. So don't forget, don't drag it. And I had somebody particularly decided to make a cake for me on Father's Day. And I will invite all the fathers to come and share with me and cut that cake together at the basement. Amen. Son, I appreciate you, the person that have done that, God sees you, God bless you. The church say amen. I know they have challenge in giving me gifts in the church because I'm not for it. Not that it's not good. But I always feel, what about your birthday? Have I even said birthday to you? Have I even give you a gift? Then you put money together and give me a gift. I don't feel good about that. Amen? Hallelujah. That's me, and celebrate me that way. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Yeah, glory. Come on, stand up and say, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Do it to the Father above. The singer, thank you, take your seat. The singer said, there is joy in the house, even though you know your Father in the house is under still some affliction. But there is joy in the house. Somebody say amen. Along that line, I want to appreciate you for standing with us. Some of you that knew what we are going through, your prayers, your support. The men were out with me yesterday. We had a good time. That's what it should be, because it's fulfillment of the word of God. It says, mourn with those that mourn. Bible knows there is time for everything. Hallelujah. But we try to mix the two together in the house of the Lord, because we trust in Him when we say we are afflicted. Amen. While it is good. Anyway, now it is time. He didn't say dudes. Bloomers Inclusive, it's time to be home. Amen. So it's a message or a theme that is for both the bloomers and the dudes, men, old men, if there are old men in the house. Because it is like reference to what John, I think 1 John, writing to three generations. Say, I write to you, fathers. I write to you, sons. I write to you, fathers and children. Three generations there. The children, the young men, and the fathers. If one of them is missing, there is trouble. So John understood why he is writing to three sets of people. Because he knew that people like Pharaoh would like to say, keep the young men or allow the young men to go. Young men they have the time, they have the energy, they don't have the wisdom. So what will they do? They need to go with the old fathers who have wisdom. If the children just go, what will the children know? They are still being mentored, trained. While it is good and we should celebrate our fathers, but when you look at the ills in our societies, in our times, it's heartbreaking. I don't know why we are saying Happy Father's Day. The physical reality, Bupe, God bless you with those words. Can you go to slides one? Fatherlessness is one of the most critical societal crises of our time. David Blackenhorn, in his book Confronting the Fatherless Nature of America, he says it's an urgent social problem. And I think there is another writer that talked about fatherlessness is the most destructive trend in our generation. It's high time we've gone back to home to be with the Father. Are you home with the Father? According to the U.S. Census Bureau 2025, about 18.2 million children, one in four, live without biological stepfather or adoptive father in the home. Next slide. Sensitive. About 18.2 million children, one in four. That's enough children to fill New York City twice. To help you understand. Britain is facing an epidemic of fatherlessness as well. This is just posted on 21st January 2026. Some of the ills of fatherless home. 85% of all children who show behavior disorder come from fatherless homes. Fatherless youths are 11 times more likely to be violent. Celebrating Father's Day? 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. Are you any surprise? When you don't listen to God's law, what will happen to our country? When God was trying to constitute the nation of Israel, the first thing he did is to give them commandment. Commandment, the law of God, is about culture, it's about national security. It's about forming a country. Without the law, there is no country. That's why in every country, you know, you have constitution that the government abides by. When you don't have it, these are the things that happen. 80%, it said children in father-absent homes are four times more likely to be poor. Poverty is related to fatherlessness in the house. 71% of high school dropouts come from what? Fatherless homes. Thank God you have a father and you are still having a father. Amen. Drug abuse 10 times higher in fatherless teens. You celebrating Happy Father's Day? More than virtually, according to Time Magazine report from research work, more than virtually any factor, the presence of a male biological parent in the family determines the child's success and happiness. Let those things sit down. So many of them, I just summarized that there. You Google around, you see it on your... Take time to see facts. Not always trending. What is trending? How many people are following me? Am I talking to somebody? Let me explain the theme that we have is before us on your bulletin. Now it's time to be home with the Father. It's very important to understand the direction of the message, the theme, the components that come together. Sometimes ministers take time to put the theme prayerfully. Now it's time. So that word now. You remember one of our team, now it's God's time, right? Which time is not God's time? Turn to your neighbor, hey brother, it's time to go home. Hey bloomer, it's time to go home. Time to be home with dad. Now means what? Right at this time, at this current or present moment in time, without any hesitation, now, when the mother is saying, do it now, the child gets it, right? Immediately respond now. Now means every moment, every second. You are not aligned with the will of the Father in whatever matter or circumstances, location, is the now that we are talking. Align yourself with. Every moment, every second, 24/7, be home with the Father. Let me keep that simple as now, because you understand what that means. Now, immediately. The current, no later, no procrastination. Now, today is the day of what? Salvation. Do not talk about tomorrow. So as the Lord convicts you, be home today. Be home today. In my Father's house, there are many what? Rooms. What are those rooms? Every aspect of your life. Have you invited God into it? That's why he's not home. That's why he's not back. He's waiting to get those things ready. In your heart. What about home? Why should I be coming here to define home? Sometimes it is good to look at the words in their original meaning so that you can get a sense of what really the writer is talking about. Home, usually we say a house, a storage place, a residence, dwelling, habitation, and your birthplace. If I ask you now, where are you living? Well, where are you from? When I say, where are you living? You will tell me, I live in Shahoshan. Do you live in two places at the same time? You don't live in two places at the same time. Where you are is your house. Now you, a moving house, the temple of God. But more importantly, when you study the word of God and look at words in different paraphrases, in different synonyms, I've come up with this reality. And by the way, to get a deeper meaning of that home, do you have something like, there is no place like home? Have you ever heard that? What are you talking about? Your home country? I'm sure you're not talking about heaven because you haven't been to heaven before. There is no place like home. What? What does it mean when we say, Bupe, this wall is not my home? Then which one are you talking about? If this wall is not your home, or you'd say, I've made this place a home. I've made this place a home. But that is not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on number two, where I highlighted that the word home means source, the origin, the place of origin. It means what? A natural habitation, a natural environment, territory or terrain where something thrives and lives naturally. That's a home. It is like a haven, a shelter, a refuge, a sanctuary. So hold that meaning very well. Source, place of origin. A natural habitation where something thrives. When you take that thing out of that place, it's not its home. It cannot function well. Because it is designed to function in that environment. And when you move it out, will it function very well? It struggles. You know, when you live in the natural environment, you don't need to be taught. Things will go effortlessly. A fish swims in the river with effort or effortlessly. Because it's thriving in the environment it is designed to be. Is somebody getting some lesson here? When you are not home, you won't thrive well. Hallelujah. And the third meaning there, it means what? Home, always 24/7 with God, submitting. When you are submitting to the will of God, you are home with God. If you are not, you are away. And I'm telling you, it's time to be home with the Father. Amen. Then the third word, now, home and Father. Father. You know, in the Old Testament, you talk about God. What they understood, this guy is almighty, powerful. He gives instruction, you follow, you fail. He slaps you, even he kills you. That's all. This is a deity. All that he does is just rule the world. You have to do it according to his will. Then Jesus came to say, hey guys, that is not my Father. There is another aspect of him. And that's why when the disciples came to him, teach us to pray, he started with one thing: our Father. It was a concept. The listeners don't get it. Now, speaking the Aramaic language, You know, the New Testament have these two Greek words, Aramaic, while the Old Testament Hebrew. Now the word Abba is what we have as English, Father. But when you look at it in the Aramaic meaning, it talks about, together with the Greek word pater, the two together, put together, you have Abba ho pater. It means Abba Father. It's a kind of a language that the speakers at that time understand. It's like a father-child name. Abba, Papa, Daddy. It talks about relationship and intimacy. Abba, Father, a familial term pointing to a relationship and intimacy. That yes, this God, you can be so intimate, like father-son relationship. It was strange to them. They couldn't understand it. Now we can call this God Father, Daddy. While other religions say, how can you desecrate the name of God? No respect that you are calling. It is in Christianity that you have relationship with your God. Somebody say amen. Now another word for Father, it means a source. Someone who begins or began a process or produces something is called a father. A progenitor, originator, a precursor. One who imparts life and is committed, listen very well, is committed to bringing into being. He said the father of science. Maybe he discovered something and they call him the father of science. So I'm trying to bring another concept that to help you understand. Most of the time we look at somebody, a male species that donated his sperm and to a woman and then was able to have a son. That is what we call father. But here we have understood that Abraham, before Isaac came in, he was called Father Abraham. Because he was pulled out of that place. And then later on, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes to a nation. Fatherhood is a lifetime calling, no end. It's an assignment independent of circumstances, whether children obey you or not. You have to uphold that role. Is somebody who imparts life and is committed to it, bringing it into being and to pass on the potential for likeness. I'm talking about what? Succession, continuity and succession. So a father talks about he's the source. The worship team was singing, my father is a sustainer. He brings forth something, he's committed to it, he protects it, provides for it, and is the lover of the soul of the child. And in continuity, he teaches him, it is beyond us, you have to pass it on. The function of a father comes with assignments, and every assignment given to any person, believe you me, the enemy attacks it. When you talk about the provider, the enemy will attack the father's finances so that he will not perform the function that has been called for. Understand? understand that term, because we're coming back to that issue of the house. If you remember, there is one word for the house: source. So let me just summary there quickly together those three terms. Every now, it means every moment of your life, every second is the now that we are talking. Now, the Holy Spirit is telling you something, do it now. Tomorrow by this time is now. Next hour, that minute is now. You ought to be home with the Father 24/7. Home means source, place. To be home, to be at home 24/7 is always doing or aligning your will with the Father. Or else you are not at home, but away. Anytime you refuse to do the will of the Father, you are moving away. We'll talk about the consequences of moving away later. Then you see the word Father, source, place of origin, a natural habitation that I have spoken about, territory where something typically thrives. Talks about relationship. The moment you leave the Father, you leave the presence where there is protection, there is provision, and you step out. Let's put it in the proper perspective. Father versus home. Source, place of origin. It talks about relationship and intimacy. These two words together. When you are home, you are with the Father. When you are not at home, you are not with the Father. There is no intimacy, there is no relationship. And your source will dry because you are supposed to be linked with the source. You see, when the river flows down from the mountain, it continues. Even if it is meander and forms an oxbowlick or something blocks it, it doesn't affect the flow from the top, the source. It will continue to flow. When you leave the source, everything that you have, you remember that picture I showed you, a bucket of water, but there is it's leaking. Drop by drop, it will eventually be emptied. If you continue spending your money and there is nothing coming in, will the money grow or it will finish? You'll finish, right? So what does it mean to leave home? Let me show you scriptural definitions, what it means to leave home. And it's a process. Temptation is a process, right? When do you actually fall into the temptation? How do you prevent temptation? Refuse the platform. Simple. Refuse the platform of temptation. Completely shut it down. If you allow the enemy on that table, on that platform, God help you. Genesis 3:16, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, she didn't just take it and eat. She had time to think. She started leaving home. Isn't she? That's how it happens to you practically. When it is not for God and you start contemplating, you are leaving home. Daniel chapter 4 verse 30. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. When he had all his power and authority more than any king in the world. These are real super kings. They are like gods. And in that ecstasy and full of himself, he said, is it not this great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Wow. The thrones of heaven shook. Who is that? He left home. He started living home. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. Will you know when you start leaving home? Don't you know? If you don't get it, let's go to Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Father, you know the story of the prodigal son? Hey, do we have prodigal daughters in the house? They didn't come today. Is it only that day that when he said, Father, give me my shares of the estate? Was it only that day? He must have dreamt, calculated it. You don't become a thief one day and say it's a mistake. He said, Father, give me my shares of the estate. He started the process long. Before they said, this is your character. No, you must have gone through things looking at, making a habit of it, day by day before evolving to a character. And that's how we know you. God is kind. You don't just, because you made, that is why Abba, Father is important in our life. In the Old Testament, you make a mistake, you and your family are wiped out. Finish. Gone. If you don't get it, let me go to Jude chapter 1, verse 6. You know the angels who decided not to stay at their post of calling, they what? Fell down. If you leave home, if you leave the presence of God, you will fall eventually. Are we together? Amen. Let's go back, focus on Luke chapter 15. Next slide. You know the story. We just read it. We read it, if you remember. If you have not left home. How many people remember we read Luke chapter 15? Most of you have left home. You are thinking of what to do after the service. Yeah, by the way, there is an insight here. We have a talented young man in the house, very creative. He said, Dad, what about these things? I looked at that, I said, beautiful. Can we appreciate Aneso in the house? I like such people to be in the team, in the house of God, but I don't want to have them too many because they make me lazy. Amen? Hallelujah. That's very important. Right? And I pray that you appreciate this work by reading it through and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Believe you me. Some of the listen, look at page 2. Look at page 2. There are questions that... Oh, no. Let's go to the front page. You know, what is happening with time? Is that how time runs? Who is the invisible front page? Who is the invisible and visible Father of all? Tell your neighbor quickly. 30 seconds. Who is he? And be careful. He says, be careful about mind the implication of your answer. Who do you think is the visible and invisible Father? And he's the Father of all. By your testimony. Let's go to page 2, number 11 and 12. Can somebody read it with a loud voice in the house of God? Some of you now, your voice is slow because I say read. Well, if you are in the dormitory day, you are the loudest. Amen. Sorry, can you read that again? That's good. Louder. Thank you. Amen. I need a dude. All right. We're talking about father. Yeah. A dude. Somebody to read it loud. Yeah. What is the most important legacy or inheritance you desire from your father? Let's be honest. Where are the dudes? Tell me how many of you are always there at the feet of your father trying to learn. You are only thinking of his, like that song. You're only thinking like that, son. What are the legacies? We shall find out later. Let me go back to what I'm talking about this son here, where we read. So please make use of it. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. There is a challenge there. When he finally came, when somebody said finally, when he finally came to his senses. Hey, something must have happened. He said to himself, understand those words. Did he say the Holy Spirit spoke to him? Did he say the devil? When finally he came to himself, he said, what? To his senses. We are reading, the subtitle is, what happens when you leave home? Read between the lines, you know what I'm trying to hit at. What happens when you leave home? When you are not home with dad 24/7? What happens? He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heavens and you. You remember? Let me tell you, when you sin, the sin is first against who? God. And second, a fellow human being. If you are a Christian, you sin, you are sinning against the whole church. So it's not about, it's me. Who told you? You are putting the body of Christ in trouble. That's the same thing Joseph said. How can I do this wicked thing to sin against God and against this master? And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. This is contrition, brokenness. Please take me as a hired servant. Oh, some higher servants are even better than you, but it's just expression of how broken and humble he was. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Let me tell you something. Did the father meet him in the pig's house? Some of you want to remain where you are until the father comes to you. You are full of your rights. I pray that you come to your senses this afternoon. Amen. So understand that. Now Nebuchadnezzar that was boasting, look at what happened again. So you observe the word when they came to their senses. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, look up to heaven. The prodigal son remembered, I have a father. Nebuchadnezzar, look up to where God, and my sanity was restored to me. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 26. Then they will come to their senses. Something happened behind. In verse 25 or 24. In trying to be merciful, correct one another, so that they will have opportunity to come to their senses. Senses. So what am I saying? What happens when you leave home? You lose your sanity. You lose your senses. I'm not talking about the world senses, rights and other things, sanity. Of course you are still walking. It is the same thing that I was saying. A fish doesn't have to go swimming school to be taught how to fish. A bird doesn't have to attend a flying school aviation school in order to know how to. It is in them. It is what? In them. If you remain with the Father, being a child of God is effortless. But when you leave, when a bird tries to swim, it struggles because it's not the right environment. Where you are, if you are not at home with the Father, you're having problems. So you lose your sanity. It's not a question, what is sanity? When he took that money, friends were waiting for him. He went to 5 stars and every place he was the hero. He was having his own sense, but what? Foolishness. He was naked, dirty. That's why he wrote in Revelation to one of the churches, you think you are rich? You are poor, naked, wretched. May God help us to see our foolishness. Sometimes you think you are thriving. You think, until when he came to that poverty, then he realized, you see, I'm not poor, I'm still rich, everything is going on well. I can tell you that you are so foolish that you forgot the story of the rich man. He was all rich in the world, but poor in heaven. Let me tell you, young people, you better be home or else you are destroying your future in your marriage. Marriage does not make you more holy or less holy. You carry baggages into your married home. Unless the Lord intervenes. So stop deceiving yourself. When I get married, I will be better. You say, prepare outside before you start building. When you are involved in sexual immorality, just one example, and you say, okay, we have separated nothing. It's a lie. You have not separated. You are still glued to that person. And the spirit have mixed. And that's why after marriage you're having dreams and you don't know where these problems are coming from. You are still tied. Don't you know that he is like fusion. You get your super glue, put it here until it dries. Pull it and see how your skin tears. That's how it is. You are still united until it is broken. You go for prayers, you confess, you are still tied to that person. That is one of the worst sin. Sexual immorality. We have separated, we are no longer together unless you confess of that sin. And nobody can untie that bond. Let me tell you, nobody can untie that bond. It is only the word of God that has the power to search wherever it is, and it cuts sharper than any double-edged sword. It slices to the thinnest thing. But you, if you don't do that, you are still tied to that person. You have sinned against your children. You have sinned against your future children, your grandchildren. It's a serious matter. I'm telling you, be home this afternoon. If you are involved in sexual immorality, bow your heads and pray and ask God, forgive me. Let the church pray for you. Don't think it's okay. I'm not talking that is the most sinful thing, but the Bible talks about it. You're sinning against yourself. What does it mean? It's like committing suicide, autolysis, killing, self-killing. Because after separating with this partner, she travels, she goes, or he goes to another person, make love to another person, your spirit is being transferred. It is like a DNA helix, you know, when you come into that place, it's like it's open up, and this one, copy, and then you leave. That's how serious it is. It's not something that, okay, you wash yourself clean, you're looking good, you are still as dirty as anything unless you confess. I need to provoke you. Okay, you say, no, it's not only sexual immorality. How about telling lies? Anger. Hatred. Disrespectful. Dishonoring your parents. You know what? Honoring your parents is the fifth commandment or six? Come on, church, tell me. Which one is it? Number five or six? How many believe it's five? Say amen. You see, they don't want to say amen. And the pastor is telling you it's number five. Can you say amen? That's why you are dishonoring parents. Say, honor your father and mother. All right? What is the opposite? I mean, it's the only one with the blessing, right? So that you will live longer. So if you dishonor, you will eventually die. Opposite. It's a serious matter. Why are we having these problems that I read? Fatherless home and other things. That problem. That's why we are having problems in the world today. We reject the law of God. God rejects us. It's part of His faithfulness. So in a nutshell, let me put it this way. What happens? What should you do? Like the prodigal son. Many years ago, we had this teaching on the 5 R. Process of going back to be home with the father. This afternoon, I believe many want to go back home to be with the father. Amen? I pray that many of you will come to your senses finally. It's not about anyone. It's about you. Say, I will go home to my father and say, Father, forgive me. As simple as it is. You see, Jesus Christ said, come unto me. Simple words. He didn't say explain or try to give excuse. Just come. But you will wait and say, let me go and bury my father, or let me go and give this thing. He said, come. He knows why he told you to come. He saw all your problems. He saw what you need. It's not about burial. Or sell things to say goodbye to people. It's always about I. He's telling you, come. I will go home to my father. How many will say, today I'm coming home, Dad? Father, I have filled in that blank. I don't know what is your problem. Maybe it's Thanksgiving. Father, I've come to give you thanks. Father, I come to be washed by you. I come to be forgiven by you. Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes, and his sanity was restored. I pray the sanity be restored to you this afternoon in the name of Jesus. The 5 R. Let's learn from the Bible. Until that he came to realization. When he finally came to his senses, the Bible didn't tell me it was the Holy Spirit or the devil. He came to his senses. He realized realization is the game changer this afternoon for you. And after realization, you can't just say, I'm sorry, and you still remain in the same pit. The difference between one who falls in a pit and remains there and one who falls inside and gets out is clear. Realization. He said, I will return home. Return to the Father. That's where your source is. That's where your security is. That's where your provision is. He says, repent. Some of you are too proud to say sorry. You want the Father to understand. Confess with your mouth It helps to bring your pride down. Acknowledge brokenness, contrition. When you do that, those things, number three will be there. The Father will restore you. Restoration is coming to you this afternoon. Say amen. And after restoration, you tell me the prodigal son will be sleeping in his room. He will rise to his duty. Will rise to his duty. Somebody say amen. One more time to round it up for us. Next slide. Now, it's 24/7, this moment, this afternoon. I'm calling on all the fathers, all the daughters, everyone, let us all return to our Heavenly Father. This is the best place that you can love God, understand Him in His presence daily. He's the source of everything. This is where you can thrive. Outside Him, you cannot. To be at home 24/7 is always doing or aligning your will with the will of the Father. It says what? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. We just talked about the opposite. It says what? Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave life, who gave you life. It's not God, but through him. He has everything. Four assignments of the Father to his children. You can know that. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. What is your understanding? Oh, don't make him angry. You have to speak slowly so that he doesn't get annoyed and, you know. Is that what the Bible is saying? When your parents tell your children, do not do this, you yourself don't do it. There should be no difference. If you make the difference, you are provoking him into thinking of many things. What is it? What is this? It's not do what I say, but don't do what I do. It's a lie in Christianity. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children, for their children's children, generation. But the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Do you remember that question? I say, what kind of inheritance do you want your father to leave for you? And what you desire, what the father should leave for you. Let's look at it again. Let's go to the next one on that. Leaving behind inheritance for children. Proverbs chapter 13. We read the scriptures quickly and then we go to the essential inheritance to leave behind. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, right? Proverbs 22 verse 1. A good name and by honorable behavior, godly wisdom, moral courage, and personal integrity. Oh, that's a good name. Not the name of Bill Gates, Elon Musk. Not that. It defines it here. And by honorable behavior, godly wisdom, moral courage, and personal integrity. Oh, yeah. The Muslims, the unbelievers will have these characteristics. But it's all earthly. But when you, a child of God, operate in the wisdom of God, you are building your treasure in heaven. Amen? It's better than silver and gold. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 10. But if any provide not for his provision, a father provides, protects. He is the source, the sustainer. He is the one that provides and protects. Provide is to make sure nothing is lacking for the complete function of the house. It's beyond providing food. And say, anybody who does not that for his own, and especially for those of his own household. Is it in the Bible? He had denied the faith and is worse than what? So the essential of inheritance, to leave behind the living word of God by your way of life, leading to a good name, godly precedences and convictions. Your convictions is total summation of your character. The way you live your life, your child sees that daily. I understand the abnormal cases you have by children in the house of God, in the household of God, that children, family of God, they are training up the children, but you can see weird behaviors. It's because of the fallen nature. So you have to keep on. You never give up. Amen? You never taught a child to say something. One day he just says, how did you learn this? He carries that sinful nature, and you are there to help shape that. So the living word of God by your way of life, leading to a good name, godly precedences, convictions, is one of the legacy inheritance to leave, a father should leave for his children. Good name. Good name. We talk about good name there. Is the best, better than any perfume. Good name. Godly relationship and connections. Sometimes you are foolish in the kingdom of God. There is need for connections and relationship that you pass can be transferred. You remember Jesus on the cross, he said what? Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Connections. Sometimes deliberately you want to know who you are connecting your children with. What kind of family? It can be a source of pain and sorrow in your house. But connections, relationships are good. Children, don't say you are in China. Try to call people, your relatives, your uncles, back home. Keep that connection. Not until when you have a problem, you start calling. Relationships can be passed on. What are you passing to your children? Physical assets. Back to what? 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. Anyone that fails to provide. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children. But you see, physical assets, this is all that the prodigal son coveted from his father. He forgot all the other ones that are central. The fourth one or the last one is like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing shall be added to you. But he went for the physical assets. May that not be your life in the name of Jesus. Last slide. Process, still process of going back home. Remember, now it is time to be home with the Father. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 to 14. He who conceals his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. You remember the 5 R? You must acknowledge. Realization. You must return. You must ask for forgiveness. You must rise to the duty. Blessed is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. How many times did the word of God come to you with regards to that matter? You are still far away from home on that matter. That's why we are talking, my father's house has many mansions. If that were not so. So if this thing doesn't have other translation, then it means Jesus Christ, for how many years will he be building that house for you? That's how long, hard you are in that area. Have you returned home to the Father? There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever that remains with God doing his will 24/7 is at rest. God finished his creative work. Jesus came and finished the creative, redemptive work in your life. Enter into his rest. Come back to Father, and you will have rest. Let's bow our heads. Are you home with the Father? What area? It's not about it's too late. You are here today. You are here today. Will you acknowledge it? Will you acknowledge it? Will you do as the prodigal son? Realize? Will you come to your senses this afternoon? Nobody needs to help you. Yes, we can talk to you as we are preaching. Will you return and talk to the Father? He's more than willing. The Father did not meet him in the pig's house. And don't be deceived that everything is okay, despite you are not at home. Remember the rich man? He was far away from home. When you come back, he will restore you. You are in the right place to thrive, in the right habitation, the right territory, in the right terrain, when you are in the will of God. His Holy Spirit will come to you, enable you, strengthen you. That which you could not do is because you are not in the right place. Return home to the Father. I don't know what area you have not returned home to the Father. This afternoon is your opportunity. You've heard the word of God. Be home to be with the Father. Be home. Will you come home? Will you come home? Pray that prayer. Tell God, I'm returning. I'm coming back home on this matter, on that matter. You know the matter. If you don't know that you are disoriented, you don't know exactly what is happening, come back to Dad. Say, Father, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know. Pray that prayer. Talk to the Father. That's the best happy birthday. Or rather, happy Father's Day. Why am I talking about happy birthday? Well, it's a new day if you come home. That's what happened. Like he was dead, but now he's alive. You'll be restored. And believe him when he restores. Whoever wants to criticize you is just wasting his time. You are clean, forgiven. The signet ring, the sandals, everything restored. You are beautiful before him. But will you come home? Return to the Father. That's the call. Dude, return to the Father. Bloomer, return to the Father. Parents, it's a call for every one of us. Return to the Father. Pray that prayer. I don't know which area you are returning to the Father, but if you have prayed that prayer, I want you to testify today before the Father and lift up your hand that you have prayed that prayer. God bless you, I know. Don't be ashamed. Don't look at any person. It's between you. I'm coming back to the Father. Not coming back. Maybe that's your problem. You always wait for people. You want to look at who and who are doing things before you return to the Father. This afternoon, that's the end of it. You want to stand and say, yes, Dad, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I've heard your word. I'm not even asking people to stand or somebody standing up to lift up his hands before God. That's your problem. That's you. Father is saying, come home. He will not meet you at the pig's house. He will not meet you in your father's house. He is calling you. Come home. Now. Now. Nobody's threatening your life. That if you don't give your life today, you don't have another opportunity. Who says so? But you don't know what is next. Testify before him. Lift up that hand if you have prayed. Lift up that hand. Lift up that hand. God bless you. Whatever it is, I'm not asking you to display, to talk your dirtily. You are talking to the Father. All eyes closed. Let the Holy Spirit, as he passes by the pew, speak and touch those hands. Keep those hands. You can keep those hands. Lift that up. Do not be ashamed. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. The Lord is reaching out to hold that hand. The Almighty that you surrendered, the Almighty that you prayed to, He's already meeting you. And he says the Father met him halfway. The Father never left. You left. But he's always giving opportunity. I don't know which area you are returning. Father, in the name of Jesus, is there any other hand? As we pray. Those hands are lifted to you, not for man. They're coming home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Over one soul, the heaven rejoice. They're coming back. They have been far away. I can see your tears crying. You cried to your dad. He will wipe your tears away. In your mercy, oh God, you know exactly what they have spoken. You are their dad. I'm only standing as a servant in your house. Under the mercies of God, to identify with them, to agree with them. Father, let it be a mark in their life today. Today, let them remember that you have received them. Beautiful daughters, beautiful sons, the Lord will do more than whatever you have lifted up your hands for in the name of Jesus. He will do more beyond what you are asking. You're asking forgiveness, he's restoring you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You may put down your hands. Sit down, please. God bless you. God, eat a bite.